Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Stormkeep. My name is Paul, and today I'm joined by.
Hey guys, it's Magong.
And today we are going to talk about a topic that has been a big discussion on our Discord server lately because of the seasonal change. We've gotten a whole slew of new battle tactics, and they are quite a bit tougher than previous seasons. And Stormcast, their book battle tactics are not great. So a big conversation we've been having lately is how do we score battle tactics? Before we get started with our video, let's give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Kaiju Gaming Lounge. They're based in Orlando, Florida, and they are the ones who ship out all the merch for the Stormkeep podcast. They also sell Warhammer, 15% off. Just use code Stormkeep. For our Stormkeep merch, we have 9-inch, 7-inch rangefinder sticks. These are super handy if you're using Thunderstrike units to drop in 7 inches away from enemies, or like me, if you're playing Seraphon right now and they're super fun, they do the same thing with the 7-inch drop. And we also have custom dice. Dice are currently out of stock if you're listening to this on release, but they will be restocked soon, so stay tuned. Big thanks for Kaiju Gaming Lounge. They sponsor our painting contests. So if you guys need some Warhammer, give them a look. They're great guys. On to the topic at hand. What are battle tactics? I think a quick refresher just to kind of get the groundwork laid out here would be useful. So battle tactics, conceptually, are a secondary scoring system in match play. You know, you've got your primary objectives, you have to control one, control two, control more. That's pretty standard for battle plans these days. But then there's this battle tactic thing that you do. You pick it at the start of the hero phase, and then you try to score it by the end of the turn. Now, the specific rules for how battle tactics are scored, which ones you can pick, how many points they're worth, all that stuff is completely dependent on the season. We'll have new battle plans, and each one will have its own way of doing things. So it's a completely modular system. They could put out a new pack, you know, 3 months from now that has, you know, battle tactics are only worth 1 point this turn. But in general, what we've seen is that they're worth 2 victory points on every battle plan. And your battle tome also has battle tactics specific to your faction. A lot of these are pretty bad, honestly. Even the factions that have good ones, like Seraphon, they just have some real stinkers in there. like that one where you have to have 2 Aggrodon units in combat after starting the turn with only 1 Aggrodon unit in combat. That's such a terrible tactic. It's unreal. Yeah. But
yeah, some are real stinkers, but others are almost, you could say, giveaways. And we'll talk about battle tactic design in a bit, but it's like, the aim, I think, over the last, for those of you who've been playing Age of Sigmar for a while, has been to make battle tactics a bit harder. Like, if the first season of Age of Sigmar 3.0, battle tactics are mostly giveaways. They were things you were already doing, and now they're things you have to actually go out of your way to do.
Yeah, I would say they were mostly things you do along the way to your game plan. They were that way until this season, really. It was stuff like kill a battle line unit, kill a general, kill a monster. There was all these very simple tactics in the first batch, and then in season 1 and 2 we had things like desecrate, which was like a freebie, honestly. Gaining momentum, that's just how you play the game, right? Is having more objectives. So like, they were really easy, but this season, not so much. They require more planning, they require using specific units, they require being non-interactive but at the same time aggressive, which is a weird combination.
Yeah, that's a weird place to be.
Yeah, but we'll talk about them. But first, let's just go over the mechanics. So battle tactics are picked at the start of your hero phase. Each one can't be picked more than once per game. And some of them require picking units on the battlefield, which means you can't pick units in reserve. You have to specify which units are doing things, and that gives your opponent time to respond to that. But other battle tactics don't require picking units. And in general, those tend to be a lot easier. We'll see in the season that seems to be the case. But there's a lot of things that happen at the start of your hero phase, right? And that is starting to become a clustered part of the game. Because I've got a short list here. Maybe you can think of some other things I forgot. So now, with this season, we're checking primal dice, right? We're checking dispelling endless spells. We're doing heroic actions. We have the Antorian Acolytes Battalion. That happens at the start of each hero phase. You pick a battle tactic. You rally. There's a lot of abilities that happen, like the Slan Star Master has to generate command points at the start of the hero phase. And all of these can be done in any order. And they've clarified this in the FAQ, that these are all abilities as per Core Rules Section 162, which means you can do them in any order you want. So you could rally, then try to get a heroic action to get a free command point, or you can do it the other way around. You can get your primal dice and then try dispelling, or you can do all of your dispels and then try getting your primal dice. Like, the order can matter, right? And doing it in the right order matters. And after you do all of the things you want to do, then your opponent resolves all of theirs. So you do all of your, you pick your battle tactic, then your opponent gets a chance to respond. If you pick a battle tactic that requires destroying a hero, for example, your opponent could respond with their finest hour to give them a defensive boost. If you pick something that requires dispelling it in the spell, your opponent could do something to mess with that, right? There's opportunities for your opponent to respond. 40K had a similar problem like this, right? Like they had like a command phase and it was getting very bloated and they had to split it into like a start of command phase thing. Do you know how that worked, Murgonk?
I mean, I don't remember like fully from what I remember. It was something like you scored points at the start of command, but then the way 10th edition works now is you also take battle shock tests at the start of command. So their start of command phase is starting to get more cluttered because that's when they generate CP. That's when they take battle shock. If you have a faction like Necrons or someone that has like unit recursion, that's when you do it. That's when you score points, unless you are in the fifth round and you went first. So that's a weird bookkeeping thing they have. But yes, the start of the turn is getting extremely cluttered because of all the different things we're applying. And it'll get even more cluttered as we apply like things like some factions have special heroic actions, you know, or like a special kind of rally, or maybe a battalion that generates some kind of bonus for them at the start of hero phase, you know? So.
Oh yeah, it's getting weird. Maybe this is a bit of a tangent, but it's feeling like, remember in second edition we had this fight first mechanic and how that worked with start of combat phase abilities. I feel like we need to clean up like what we got for strike first, you know. So that would be good because to me it makes sense that things like primal dice and picking a battle tactic that should probably happen before your army does things like heroic actions, dispelling with your wizards, rallying with your troops. It feels like there are game things that should happen, and then there are army things that should happen.
I agree. Yep.
But the way the rules are, and the FAQ is clear on this, you can do these in any order. So we can't really have a discussion about battle tactics without just jumping right into the battle tactics. So we can talk specifically, you know, about specific, we can talk about specific ones here, but then we can go into like a general discussion about it as well. So let's start with the Stormcast battle tactics. And I've given these rankings. These are just being pulled from our upcoming tier list. So check back to the tier list if you want like more in-depth discussion about that. But let's take a look here. First up is Pioneers of the Realms, which requires contesting all objectives wholly within enemy territory with Cities of Sigmar units. And that might be the worst battle tactic in the game with the way Stormcast and Cities are currently set up. That's one of the worst ones. And also worth noting that some battle plans just don't have objectives wholly within enemy territory. That is a thing, right? Like if you're playing on two towers, then there's no objective wholly within enemy territory. You actually can't do this one on there. And then the fact that you have to, like all of them, let's say you're playing on one that has like three objectives in enemy territory, you have to contest all of them with Cities units. And Cities units are not, they're typically not fast, they're not punchy, they're not strong, like they're not mobile.
They're about as fast as us, so it's like, I don't know what unit they expect us to do. Like, and considering Cities is, guys, like, we have to remember, like, Cities is a coalition for us, at best. How many Cities units are you running that you can run them fast enough to just take all these opponents' objectives? Like, that game would have to be going horribly wrong for your opponent for you to be able to do this.
Yeah, in the current state of the game, you know, before the new Cities book comes out, I could possibly see a scenario where there's one objective in enemy territory and you can just fly a Phoenix onto it. But we know the Phoenix is being removed now. That's been announced. So that's probably not going to be a tactic going forward.
Yeah, your best bet, I think, is like, I've only done this once ever. And it was, I can't remember what the mission was. I think it was like a Prize of Galette or something where I took a Drakespawn unit and I ran it all the way.
Yeah, and as far as we can tell, Drakespawn are sticking around, right? They weren't in the list of units being removed, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. We're giving this one an F tier right now. The way we construct lists doesn't, it's really hard to make your list work for this one. Sometimes we'll bring a battle mage, but that's sometimes we'll bring Drakespawn knights, but the odds of you scoring this are so low, it's just not good. And this isn't because it's mechanically hard. Contesting all objectives isn't actually the hardest thing in the world. It's just the fact that you don't bring many Cities units. That's really the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we gave that one an F tier. No challenge too great. This requires slaying any hero with Redeemer melee attacks. So this could be Vanquishers, Sequiturs, Redeemers, or Liberators. I think I said, nope, Redeemers, sorry, Vindictors.
Yeah.
The problem is that our Redeemer units are they're really not good for anything except holding objectives, denying space, and being cheap screens, right? They're not particularly punchy. Like, yeah, sometimes you'll play 15 Vindictors and there might be a support hero in range that you can stab at. But in general, Redeemer units just aren't very good at fighting heroes. So,
yeah,
pretty bad tactic overall.
Pretty bad tactically, yes. I think the only thing you could realistically do with this is get extremely lucky and maybe hope to, like, 1-2 punch a monster. Like, you shoot into, like, a monster hero and then charge 10, 15 Vindictors and hoping to take it down. But even that's not going to happen, I don't think.
The one thing I do like about this tactic is you don't have to pick the enemy hero. It's just destroy any hero. So they can't use Finest Hour reactively to try to... I mean, sometimes it's obvious which one you're going to go for.
Mm-hmm.
But, because you don't have to pick, it makes it a little bit better. Like, there could be situations where you score this. So it's not irredeemable. You're going to have redeemers in your list. So, hey, sometimes you just need to do one wound to a hero. And that's it.
Yeah.
So favored units for this one, I'd say, you know, if you're using Sequiturs, which I'm not too hot on right now because Galatian Champions or Galatian Veterans is gone. So Sequiturs are looking a lot worse. And but if you're using Reinforced Vindictors, like if you're playing a Stormkeep build and you're trying to push off objectives, then sometimes you'll push into enemy heroes and be able to score this.
I'm not too bad on Sequiturs right now, because right now what's happening is there's a list called Soulblight, and it's really annoying. It's mainly like big groups of skeletons are very annoying. So
yeah,
skeletons reanimate at the start of combat. So if you charge into them after, you know, taking them down with shooting, they're not going to come back. So that's something
I also
to
like,
consider.
I also like Sequiturs against OBR. Being able to stop them reviving their models is really useful.
Yes, that is pretty useful. But OBR will probably kill them.
Yeah,
like, they'll munch them up.
You won't survive the combat phase.
Yeah, so yeah.
All right, Hammerstrike Assault. So this is one of the first good ones in the Stormcast book. This requires picking an enemy hero with 10 or more wounds that has no wounds allocated to it. And in this turn, you have to destroy that hero. What I really like about this one is that it can be completed with any combination of units and any kind of damage. So you can ping them with spells, you can throw meteors at them with the banners from the Vexilor, you can shoot them, you can charge them and do mortal wounds, or just any, as long as that hero is destroyed, you score this. It does require picking an enemy hero, which means they're going to automatically respond with Finest Hour, right? And in previous seasons, you could probably still win the game even after losing a battle tactic. It's a lot dicier this season, because we don't have any good battle tactics to fall back on. So you can still declare this and bait out Finest Hour. And that, if you're playing against like a Maw Crusher, you can just ignore it for a turn, you know, force him to waste Finest Hour and then kill it the next turn. You can still do that.
Plus there's quite a few like low wound heroes in this capacity. I mean, obviously they've been raising points on all monsters, but there's heroes that are like extremely ripe for this. Namely, what comes to mind is people taking Demon Princes, people taking Vengorian Lords. If you're trying to kill something that can't be affected by a Finest Hour, so something like a Nighthaunt hero that isn't near any like Spirit Host or something, you can still do that.
Do Nighthaunt have 10 wound heroes besides Nagash?
No, they don't.
It's just Nagash.
Yeah, I totally forgot about
But something like like that Ethereal Vampire Lord on Zombie Dragon in Legion of Blood. Right, that's a thing.
Yeah, you could do that, where you know its save is never going to be better than a 3-up, so you could potentially try and kill it with, like, Volume Fire, you know?
Yeah. But since they're, you know, 10-plus wound heroes, they can't get Lookout, Sir, which means you can just shoot them freely, and Stormcast shooting is very, very good right now. Long Strikes are always good. Units like Tempesters are very good. But you want to make sure you can punch through armor, right? So when you declare a tactic like this, what you want in your list is units like Long Strikes who have huge threat range. You want Dracolines, you can just zap it with Mortal Wounds until it dies. Fulminators with Ren 2, Grand Hammers with Ren 2, Tempesters with good shooting followed up by a good punch. And then Karazai is also really good at scoring this, because he just, with those two fists, man, he just punches through monsters. It's crazy.
Yeah, dual Golemraz is pretty good against monsters. Plus, if they're standing next to hordes, that's bad news for them.
Oh yeah, all those tail attacks just go right into them. All right, next up is Lightning Shattered Morale, which would normally be F tier, but circumstances have given it a little bit of a bump. So what this one requires is you pick an enemy unit in the starting army, so it can't be a unit that was revived or summoned. It has to have Bravery 10, so we're talking Death, Demons, that's pretty much it, right? You have to make models flee in the Battle Shock phase through any means.
Don't you have to destroy the unit that way too? Or is it just make them flee?
Just make them flee.
Okay.
Yeah. So if the unit's destroyed as a result of that, you still score it, but you have to make them flee. Now, that's really difficult without considering outside sources, because there's no way to stop Inspiring Presence of Stormcast unless you use a mount trait on the Knight Draconis, which replaces a Monstrous Rampage to make so that units can't receive Inspiring Presence. That's really janky. It requires using a Knight Draconis who has 300 points. It requires getting him into melee range and succeeding a 3+ roll. And declaring your battle tactic at the start of the round and then waiting until the end of the charge phase to find out if you're going to succeed it or not is not great. That's not a great strategy. There are other ways you can game it, right? The Horrorghast and Geminids both can prevent units from receiving Inspiring Presence, which is great. Unfortunately, you have to pick your tactic before you cast any spells. So before you know if you've successfully cast those spells, if they've been unbound, you can measure ahead of time so you'll know if you're in range. But you kind of don't have that information, right? Like, as soon as you declare this tactic, your opponent knows you're going to do that. They're going to save their primal dice to get rid of that spell. And this could be a good fake out, right? That's a possibility. But you don't want to be faking out people. You want to be scoring points. Both the Horrorghast and the Geminids have problems, right? The Horrorghast is 60 points, and it only does this tactic. It only affects units with Inspiring Presence. It doesn't help you in any other matchup. Like, if you play against Ogres or other Stormcast, the Horrorghast is not very useful. And the Geminids have this big problem where they can fail, right? They're shorter range as well. They're only 23-inch threat range. And if you roll a 1, you just failed your battle tactic. So you have to set up all these pieces. You have to, you know, it's tough. It's a really tough one. You probably also have to translocate your wizard in range in order to cast the Geminids, which means you need a priest. You need to pass that 3-up reroll with the Knight Relictor. There's just so many things that need to align to make this work. It's a very difficult tactic, but it's not irredeemably bad. It's like end of the game, round 4, round 5. There's a couple units left on the battlefield. Maybe you can score it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wish this was just like any unit with like bravery 10 instead of like pick, because picking is a lot more difficult, because there's some armies like Gits, for instance, where you can realistically do this, because you can like split fire between your shooting and your melee and make a bunch of like Grots flee, and the Gifts player will, you know, Inspiring Presence one of them. But when you have to pick the unit, it's a lot harder unless you have a very specific tool and you can properly utilize that tool with like your dice rolls.
Yeah, and it has to be a bravery 10 unit, which means
you're right. Ah, damn it. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's say you're fighting 10 skeletons. So you have to get into a situation where you kill 9 of them and then the last one runs away, or something similar to that, right? Like you can't overkill it. But that's very hard to do with Stormcast. We love to overkill. We want to pour as much damage into units and just get rid of them. So very tough tactic to do. Next up is Draconith Destruction. I think this is the best Stormcast battle tactic overall. It just requires destroying an enemy unit with 10 or more models using a Draconith, Drakoth, or Stardrake keyword. Now, you do have to pick this unit, I believe. You don't have to pick the friendly unit. You pick the enemy unit. So you could, for example, drop a whole bunch of Tempesters out of reserve, shoot 10 skeletons, and now that they're gone, that's it, right? Typically, units with 10 or more models don't have a lot of reactive abilities besides, you know, all that defense. They typically won't have anything else. So this is just, in most matchups, a free, like, you will probably score this at some point, right? In other matchups, you know, you play against Ogres, you just forget this exists. But yeah. Slaanesh against Seraphon, they got Skinks against Soulblight, they have tons of units that qualify. Even OBR might bring 10 more Tech Guard and you can score it off them. So just keep an eye on it. Like, don't get too aggressive scoring it, but this is one of the better battle tactics we have access to. So units you want to bring for this would be things like Tempesters, Fulminators, Karazai or Krondas, Stormdrake Guard. They have the Draconith keyword as well as the Knight Draconis. I would recommend not bringing a Stardrake to try to score this. Stardrake damage is quite low. You can do a combined, you know, shooting and melee. But if you accidentally score this with the Cavernous Jaws or with a Stomp, then you won't get it, because it does have to be done with attacks, I believe. So just watch out for that. The Stardrake's damage is not good enough. Next up is A Matter of Honor. This one requires destroying an enemy monster with a Draconith or a Stardrake. Now, again, with the Stardrake, Stardrake's going to have trouble killing 10 models. Like, maybe you could shoot some Bliss Barbs with him and then finish them off in melee. I wouldn't recommend the Stardrake for this, but Draconith, if you bring Stormdrake Guard or Draconis or Karazai, they can actually punch monsters down pretty reliably. And it's a really good reason to have a Draconith in your list because they can score this tactic and the previous one just for having that one unit in your book, in your army. So
they really push dragons, I think.
yeah. It's a good reason to bring dragons. Personally, for me, it's not a good enough reason. I feel like with Draconith's Destruction and with Hammerstrike Force, those two tactics, along with other list considerations with the Universal Tactics, I feel like I can get away with not using dragons. So even though dragons have this extra battle tactic, you don't have to use them. You can get away with not doing it. All right, let's take a look at the Antor battle tactics. So first up is Intimidate the Invaders. You have to have more units wholly outside your territory than within your territory. So what I like about this one is you don't have to pick the units, right? It's just, it affects your whole army. It checks the state of the board at the end. As long as you have more units wholly outside your territory, it's fine. Now, I thought this was going to be a freebie. I thought this was like the one you score every single game. But the more I played this season, the more I realized that it's actually really hard on some battle plans. Any of the battle plans that have, you know, territories touching each other, and then you have to deploy 9 inches away, those are tough to do this on, because Stormcasts are typically not very fast. For most armies, even. It's not even a Stormcast problem. It's most armies, I think, are going to struggle with this, because you don't want to be that aggressive that early on in the game. And you'll probably have some units left behind, right? You'll have things holding objectives, you'll have support heroes, you'll have shooting units. It's not easy to do this. You have to think about it. Mm-hmm. But Stormcast have very good tools to do this one if we need to. So we've got fast and teleporting units. We've got things like Dracolines move 12 inches, Aetherwings move 12 inches, Tempestors want to drop in out of Scions, so that counts as a unit outside our territory. Then we've got units that can just teleport while they're on the board. They can reactively teleport. Units like Vanguard Hunters, the Knight Zephyros, Questor Soulsworn, which we've been talking a lot about on the podcast. And they just got announced for pre-order, so how about that?
Yeah.
Good timing. So having some amount of teleporting and fast units in your list, I think, goes a long way, because we need to score this tactic. At some point in your five rounds, this tactic needs to get scored, but it's not trivially easy like previous seasons were.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you consider using units like Vanguard Paladors to help score this tactic? Do you think that's enough?
I don't think I'd run Vanguard Paladors in general right now. It feels like they're a little too fragile for what's going on. The terrain restriction makes it really hard, because like if your opponent knows you have that capability, there's some places where they can literally screen you out from scoring this battle tactic. Vanguard Hunters might not have that problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, Vanguard Hunters do have the problem that they can't retreat with their teleport. You know, if they're stuck in combat, then that's it. They can't teleport anymore.
I don't know a lot of things in the game that'll be stuck in combat with Vanguard Hunters.
They'll probably
die. If you have a unit of flying, yeah, they'll probably die. So.
Yeah. All right, next up is Reprisal. This requires destroying an enemy unit that destroyed a friendly general earlier in the battle. So even if your Relictor or Encanter or Karazai general is destroyed, you can score 2 victory points off of it. And the ideal way to do this is to have long threat range, powerful hammers, right? So the kind of things that would score Hammer Strike Force, those are also going to score you this one. Now, because units have to attack in melee, if they're in melee range, you could just sacrifice your general. You know, after the first two rounds, that's not the worst idea in the world, is to throw away your own Knight Relictor general or something, just, you know, charge him in and hope he dies and then score 2 victory points off of it. That could be the play. I don't suggest it.
I can see that in some armies.
Yeah,
like, you're screwing yourself over in command points. The problem is Stormcasts don't have any War Masters.
We don't. Like, no, it's certainly a problem. I could see Nighthaunt really loving this. You know, with an aggressive Olander play, they teleport her forwards, they cast a pendulum to cut through the enemy army, and then if she dies, they score 2 victory points off it later. Like,
I can see Death loving this, because Death has so many War Masters. Like, you take, like, a Virkos list, Belladama's a War Master, your General's a War Master, then Radikar's a War Master. So it's just like, oh, cool, my Radikar died while fighting on the front lines like he's supposed to? Cool, I'll kill that unit next turn.
Yeah, now, I mentioned, you know, our units just are having to sacrifice our general, because for the most part, targeting Stormcast heroes, like foot heroes, is not the best strategy for our opponents, and a savvy opponent will know that, and they will just ignore your heroes on foot because they have a very specific role, which is to buff other units in the army, and it's just better to destroy those units than to destroy the units that are buffing them.
That's a generally it's a waste of time. Like, a smarter opponent will probably see this as like bait.
Oh,
like
yeah.
they'll try to yeah kill this with like a shooting unit so you can't get to them in melee on the next turn.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons we've pretty much stopped taking Mirror Shield, because if you want to shoot our priest, yeah, go for it. That's not that's shooting. That's not hitting the units that actually matter. So overall, I think this is a B tier. You know, there's situations where you're going to be able to score it. Sometimes your general will just die from incidental wounds that happen, like splash damage just occurs. Sometimes you can be very aggressive and bait your opponent into destroying your general. It's not the end of the world if you lose your translocation, especially if you build your list properly, if you've got Scions of the Storm, if you've got things like Questers, Dracolines, Hunters, all these units that can already teleport. Losing one of your units that can teleport is not the end of the world. Endless Expropriation. So this has been eroded, so I'm going to use the eroded version. It says destroy an enemy bonded to an endless spell or an incarnate, or make its incarnate go wild. So this does require picking the enemy unit so they can respond to it, which and usually wizards that are casting endless spells and bonded to incarnates are also usually foot heroes, so they'll qualify for Lookout Sir, and that can prevent them from being shot. But you can still snipe those heroes with spells. You can use things like the Night Vexilar Meteor. You can just charge deep in with Dracolines. If you have flying units like a Stormdrake Guard, those are really good for this. So yeah, I'd say this one is good. If there's an endless spell, and I think there's going to be a lot of endless spells. Making an incarnate go wild, that's really hard because every player who uses an incarnate is just going to make it go wild themselves. So yeah. you're not going to score that. But if an enemy casts, for example, a Malevolent Maelstrom at you, and they're intending to pop it on your turn with their own dispel, well, now you've just scored a battle tactic because they're bonded to a spell. Let's say they cast Geminids, and at the top of your turn, before you dispel the Geminids, you can say, well, that hero's bonded, I'm going to destroy that hero, now I roll to dispel. So just make sure you do that in the right order. So I think endless spells are going to be popular this season. This one could probably even go up to a B tier. It's just that Lookout Sir is going to make it pretty hard, and you might have to overcommit resources into doing this. But this is definitely something you can do in a game.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I really hate new Lookout Sir. My God. Like, I understand why they did it, because there are some armies that just blow away your support heroes, and the shooting power in this game was getting to a point where we're grading heroes based on their survivability. Like, we look at a hero and say, oh, Slaanesh will just kill this turn one. So I understand why they did it, but at the same time, I maybe don't like the range. Like, it completely kills units that have been designated as snipers, because that role just doesn't exist, and I feel like that if you're going to make Lookouts, or that role should exist.
I'm okay with it if they add battalions back for unit roles, right? Like, the battalion yeah. system really needs to be expanded in this game. Next up is Magical Dominance. This one requires you cast at least one spell, and none of your spells across any units are unbound. So the typical strategy for this is you deploy a wizard out of range of your enemy unbinding, which is 30 inches. You cast the one spell. Sometimes you'll cast two, because maybe you'll fail the first one. So maybe two wizards out of unbinding range is called for. Basically, you cast your spell, and then you stop. And even though it's called Magical Dominance, really this is like Magical Meekness, because you're casting the one and then saying, okay, I'm good with that. Stormcast are well suited for this, because we don't cast a lot of spells, so if we have to give up one or two per turn, that's not the end of the world, right? Like, there's no risk of failing it if you just cast Mystic Shield and then move on. There's not a lot of opportunity costs.
We like this one.
Right. Especially because most opponents, if they get the chance, they'll make Stormcast go first in round one. Right, they want the locus focus, they want the chance of double turning, because if you've been on the other side of a Stormcast double turn, you know how painful it is, and the risk of happening, like, is just not worth it.
This is the tactic 90% of my time in my Annihilator list I'm going to be doing turn one, because it's the easiest thing in the world. I just put an Night Encanter out of range. If my opponent wants to take first turn, that's actually better for me, because if I get a double turn of my Annihilators, it's game over. If you let Annihilators ever go into your opponent one turn after the other, it's over for them.
Yep. So you definitely want a Night Encanter on your list, because not only can he score this tactic, after you score it, you can move him up and into unbinding range of all of their wizards, and then deny this tactic from going off, because you have a guaranteed unbind. So you want wizards, right? You want a battle mage, you want arcane tome, you want units like Dracolines. Maybe you even want to translocate a wizard out of Unbinding Range so that they can cast a spell. So yeah, great tactic. I think this is one of the five that we're going to be scoring in every single game, either first turn or, you know, later game. If you just want some big Chad energy, you just save up some primal dice and you just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Next is Magical Mayhem. This one requires picking an enemy unit and then destroying it with spells or endless spells. This one's tough for Stormcast because we don't have a lot of damaging spells, or at least we don't bring units that have damaging spells. But sometimes you'll be able to finish off a wounded unit with like a Pendulum or a Malevolent Maelstrom. You know, that D6 or ND3 mortal wound hit can just finish off a unit, especially because Stormcasts have other hero phase damage, right? We have things like Knight Vexillors who can drop meteors in the hero phase. We have other spells like this. Knight Incantor has Spirit Storm, which can do a mortal wound. We have Arcane Bolt is always an option. Krondis can reliably cast spells. Longstrakes can soften things up with a Thunderbolt Volley. Stormdrake Guard can use their Hero Phase Breath from the Knight Draconis. There's ways to game this, but it's just so hard to get the exact right amount of damage and then finish it off with a spell, especially because spells are cast after picking tactics, right? So you don't know if any of this is going to happen. Overall, I'm going to say this is a D tier. Not impossible, but it is pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
Next is Bait and Trap. This requires retreating with two units, two or more, and then charging with two or more different units. So in total, you need four units to score this. Now, this could potentially be scored if you're in a situation where your opponent has charged multiple units. Aether Wings, for example, were within 3 inches of the front line, or some Liberators or Vindictors or something. Those are all stuck in. And then you happen to have two units that want to charge, like let's say you have a support hero and a squad of Fulminators or something. Like, it's possible that this scenario will come up. The problem is, that's not always the best thing you want to be doing with your units, right? Like, sometimes you don't want to charge in every single turn. Sometimes you don't want to be retreating. You just want to be tying things down. And Stormcast are also a low unit count army. We don't have that much stuff. So it can be tough to just have the number of models we need on the table to score this. And also, our units usually just die when they get hit. Like, five Vanquishers, they're just going to be dead. They're not going to survive long enough to retreat. So I don't think there's anything in particular that fits this tactic. Any units that are durable enough to survive don't want to be retreating. And anything that shoots usually doesn't want to be in combat. Like, this is a really bad one, but sometimes you'll be able to score it just because the way the battle flows.
Mm-hmm.
Led into the Maelstrom. One hero and one battle line unit, at least one of each. And at least one of those units is still in combat. So this is a really good reason to use an aggressive general if you have, or just a hero in general. You could have like a Karazai or a Krondis or a Knight Draconis or a Celestine Prime or a Yndrasta. These like defensive, aggressive heroes that want to be on the front line. They are great for this, as well as having battle line units like Tempestors and Fulminators. They're really useful for this. If you have Karazai, who's very durable, and then you just charge five Vanquishers into anything, anywhere on the table. Yeah, the Vanquishers are probably going to die. Karazai will probably survive, but just be careful that you don't wipe out the opponent, because you do have to end within 3 inches of an enemy. So be careful you don't do too much damage there. But overall, I think you're going to find times to score this. There's a lot of central conflicts that are going to occur over key objectives while you're playing flanks with other units. You could even, you know, we mentioned the Knight Relictor General charging in and dying. You can score this on the way in and then reprisal on the way out. That's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good 1-2 play over there.
Yeah. And the last universal battle tactic is Surround and Destroy. Now, this one requires picking three units, which means they have to be on the battlefield. They can't be in reserve or summoned. And they must be within 6 inches of different battlefield edges at the end of the turn. And at least two of those units have to be wholly outside your territory. So even though this has so many conditions on it, this is one of the better battle tactics because it doesn't require damaging your opponents. It doesn't require rolling any dice. You just have to position your units correctly. So if you translocate or teleport your units into range, this is awesome. Stormcast have tons of units that can do this. You know, earlier we were talking about Intimidate the Invaders. We were looking at units like Questers, Vanguard Hunters, Paladors, translocating units. Even the Priest himself can just translocate. Aether Wings can run onto the edge. So this actually doing this tactic is not hard. The problem comes in that you know, those units aren't somewhere else, right? There's a big opportunity cost with every single unit's placement in this game, especially for a low unit count army like Stormcast. If your Vanguard Hunters aren't screening, that could be a problem, right? Like, you need screens in front of your Hammer units in order to keep them alive. So this isn't something you score top around one because it could just leave you too exposed to enemy charges. It could also be very difficult to score top around one depending on how you've positioned your units, depending on how big your territories are. This one is not, it's not easy, but oddly enough, it's one of the easier ones. You just, if you plan ahead, if you think it through, if you have a plan going into the game, you will score this, and you're going to feel good about it because you did it properly. All right, so we've looked at all the battle tactics available for Stormcast, and a lot of that discussion, we were talking about which kinds of units we would want to see in our list in order to help score those tactics. This hasn't been as much of a consideration in past seasons because the battle tactics were so generic and so easy, I guess, that it really didn't make that much of a difference. But now we have to actually care. Like, here's some list building goals when you want to consider battle tactics in your games. First off, you want at least one wizard in order to score magical dominance. Usually you want two or more to make it reliable because how many times have you failed a Mystic Shield cast? You know, even without an unbind, it happens, right? So at least two wizards probably in every list, I'm going to say.
Yeah, the good thing to notice about that battle tactic, it's not about failing the spell. You can't fail the battle tactic by failing a spell. It just has to not be unbound.
Right. So as long as you're out of unbinding range, you can have as many attempts as you want. You can miscast three times in a row with three different wizards and then cast something with the fourth. As long as none of it's unbound, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to also say you want at least one Drakoth or Draconith unit this season in order to score Draconith Destruction. Most armies in the game now have 10 model units. Even Gargants right now are bringing units with 10 models because they're bringing the Regiment of Renown. So most armies in the game, you'll be able to score this. And then Draconith can also score a Matter of Honor if you're playing in something that has a monster, which not every army does, right? A lot of armies these days aren't running monsters. I think Slaanesh is pivoting away from using Keeper of Secrets. Stormcast typically don't use monsters. Gits typically, they might have a monster. I don't think the Trog bosses count, right?
Trog bosses. No, I think they are. Trog bosses are monsters.
We'll have to double check that.
Yeah, the Dankul Trog boss, correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
That's not a monster. Yeah. 60mm one, that's not a monster.
Yeah, they're just big, and I think they can gain monster with a trait or something.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. In addition, you want powerful hammer units with high threat ranges in order to score Hammer Strike 4. So we're talking units like Long Strikes, Dracolines, Storm Drake Guard, fast punchy units, Karazai, things like that. 12-inch move or reliable deep strike charges. You want multiple units that can teleport or have high movement. That way you can score Intimidate the Invaders and Surround and Destroy. So units like Knight or Questor Soulsworn, Zephyros, Lord Arcanum on Griffcharger, fast teleporting units are very, very useful to have in your list. You maybe also want to bring an aggressive hero in order to score Let Into the Maelstrom. Now, you don't need an aggressive hero to do this, right? You can just charge in your Knight and Cantor, and that would qualify for this tactic. But if you're going to be charging in at some point in this game, kind of makes sense to have something like a Lord Celestin on Drakoth, or a Karazai, or a Knight Draconis, some kind of aggressive hero. Maybe consider even bringing some endless spells. If you want the option to score Magical Mayhem, it's not likely to kill units with spells in this army, but it can happen, and having the option is better than not having the option. Now, having said all this, you still want the usual mix of melee and shooting and screens. You don't want to completely skew into a list that only teleports and casts spells. That's not the most successful way to play Stormcast. You still need the basics of a list in place, but it might tip you into using some units more than others. You know, like maybe you'll use Battleline Fulminators in Hammers of Sigmar rather than playing something like Fulminators in Hallowed Knights where they're not Battleline. So these kinds of minor decisions make a big difference when you're trying to score battle tactics. It's also worth noting, there are no tactics this season that require a monster or a behemoth or an artillery or even a troop. The only things that matter are movement and unit keywords like battle line and Drakoth or Draconith. Now, and one last thing I will say is you typically want to find units that can fill multiple roles, right? You got to be flexible. If you bring a unit to score a battle tactic and the unit is destroyed before it can score that tactic, it's not a very useful thing to bring. So you probably want units that can fill multiple roles. So something like Vanguard Hunters can do intimidate the invaders on one turn and then surround and destroy the following turn. Units like Tempesters, they can score Draconith Destruction one turn, let into the Maelstrom a third turn, and if they survive, they can even go in and try to escape and intimidate the invaders. So flexibility is the key here, I think. Let's take a look at a list that I put together, and I'll be doing a battle report for the channel on this one soon. This is a Hammers of Sigmar variant of the beginner competitive list that we talked about 2 videos ago now. And you can see it's got the same shell that those other lists had. It's got the Knight Incantor, it's got a Battle Mage, it's got a Knight Relictor, it's got 2 units of Vanquishers as screens, it's got a block of 4 Tempesters, it's got 6 Evocators on Dracolines, 3 Vanguard Raptors, 3 Aetherwings, 6 Questor Soulsworn, and Geminids. Looking at this list through the lens of battle tactics in particular, I've kind of noted which units I've kind of, in my mind, going into the game, I'm like, okay, these units got to score these tactics throughout the game at some point. The 4 Tempesters, of course, are key here. They're going to be scoring Draconith Destruction. They're going to be scoring Lead into the Maelstrom. They could even score Expropriation in order to destroy an enemy bonded to it in the spell, because they are fast enough that they can just walk into range to shoot enemy units, getting around Lookout Sir that way. They can score Hammerstrike Force between their shooting and their combat prowess. I've got units like the Knight Incantor, who's going to score me Magical Dominance in round 1, maybe also score Magical Mayhem at some point, and maybe even score Lead into the Maelstrom, right? They are heroes, so they can do that. I've got units like the Questor Soulsworn here, because they're very versatile, not just in terms of battlefield role, because they're a screen, they're 6 models, they count as 18 on enemy objectives, they can teleport once per game. They got a lot going for them, but in terms of battle tactics, they can help me score Intimidate the Invaders, they can help me score Surround and Destroy, and their damage is not so bad. They could help me score Hammerstrike Force, especially when you combo them with the Battle Mage to give them Wild Form, to give them +2 run and charge. The Questor Soulsworn can teleport without a dice roll and then get a 7-inch rerollable charge. That could be your round 1 play, right? Magical Dominance could be cast with a Battle Mage. He casts Wild Form out of Unbinding range on the Questor Soulsworn. They teleport forwards and then get a rerollable 7-inch charge. So that's not bad. Especially if you contest an objective while doing it. You count as 18 models wholly outside your territory. So units like Vanquishers are key here in order to score Intimidate, Surround, and Destroy, Lead into the Maelstrom. Even though they are screens, they also have this additional utility, right? I'm not going to be reliably scoring Surround and Destroy using Dracolines. I don't want to stick my important hammer unit on the side of the board away from the action. They need to be destroying key targets, they need to be contesting objectives, they need to be elsewhere. So units like Vanquishers, Aetherwings, Questor Soulsworn, even my heroes, they start filling in these other roles. So a lot of the tactics this season really require specific positioning, and it requires like moving up, right? Like Intimidate the Invaders has this effect on the game where you have to move out of your territory, and that really punishes defensive castle styles. You can't just sit back the whole game, or let's say the first 3 rounds of the game, and then push to a 3-4-5 victory by scoring all your points then. No, the game needs you to be more aggressive than you were before. Now, we can't play, you know, full gas. We can't do that. But what we can do is skirt around the edges with key units and then still have our powerful hammer units doing things where we need them to.
Yeah. I guess, like, how important is Wizard Finder's Aventur for us is my only thing, because I feel like it's not as useful as we think it is.
It's not super important. I'm glad you picked up on that. Mm-hmm. I like it on the Questers because they can help contribute damage into units like the Vampire Lord on Zombie Dragon or Neferata or any other wizard monster, really. There's like Ogres are using Arcane Tome, Gargants are using Arcane Tome. There's a lot of big monster heroes, and it makes Soulsworn go from 38 max damage up to, well, they get +12, so 50 max damage, which is it's not bad, right?
Yeah.
And if you Celestial Blades them, yeah, it's pretty good. So the Wizard Finders is here because there's really nothing else that it can go into. Like, I could use a Vanguard Battalion, I suppose. But a free command point versus +1 attack against key targets. Yeah, okay, I'll try the +1 attack. It's not something I built the list around. It's just something that I happen to have these units lying around. they don't fit into the Redemption Brotherhood or the Andorian Acolytes Battalion, so I just stuck them in there.
Yeah, I mean, the only alternate way I would go is Battle Regiment and Redemption Brotherhood, so make it a 4-drop.
Yeah, you could do that. I think there's a lot of weirdness with drops this season. I think it's like you either have 1 or 3 or it doesn't matter. So 5 is kind of, you're not beating out the 1s or the 3s, but you are beating all the ones that are going for Warlord and other value.
I'm actually seeing 2. I'm not even seeing 3 this season. I think because of the battle tactics, people are taking a lot of like throwaway units they can use to score battle tactics, like the one that you have to have more units outside your territory. And so in a battle regiment, that's really hard to do because you're talking about if there's 8 units in a battle regiment, or like 9, let's say, having 5 units outside and 3 units inside in a castle formation is really difficult. So people take a lot of 2-drops where they can like have these like throwaway fast units that they can put out there for that tactic.
Yeah, and you know what's really good for disrupting that plan? Units like Tempestors and Longstrike Crossbows. They can just pick off these units on the sides of the battlefield. Your opponent is trying to move into position to score things like Intimidate and Surround, and they just pick them off, and your opponent is left without options. All right, so let's talk, try to kind of put it all together here with some specific scenarios looking at battle tactics. But let's look at the first scenario here. You have more drops than your opponent. So odds are your opponent is going to make you take the first turn. And what you want to do in this scenario is deploy your wizards out of unbinding range of your opponent's wizards in order to score magical dominance. You want to play defensively, conserve your resources, because there is a risk of your opponent getting 2 turns in a row and just decimating you. So use the minimum amount of force required to get as high of a score as possible. Don't throw away units for no reason. You know, every single unit on the battlefield is important. You need them for battle tactics. So losing anything is just not wise.
It's not ideal. Don't do it.
Yeah, I do suggest using multiple wizards for this. This doesn't mean you deploy all your wizards out of unbinding range. Let's say you have something like Dracolines, which happen to be a wizard. You still want to deploy things like your Knight and Cantor and whichever hero is using the Arcane Tome. You can deploy them out of unbinding range, and you can easily measure this just 30 inches off from your opponent's front line. Or alternatively, since you have more drops than your opponent, you'll know where all their wizards are, where all of their unbinding is. So you just deploy out of range of that. But let's say you have to leave Dracolines in range because they're an aggressive unit. They'd want to be closer to the front line. They don't want to be sitting at the back of the table. So what you can do here is just deploy your Encanter and Tome outside and then don't cast a spell with your Dracolines. Just ignore it for a turn. You don't have Empower, or you try to cast Celestial Blades with the Knight and Cantor. Anyway, so. Second scenario, you have fewer drops than your opponent. In this type of scenario, you know you're going to have the opportunity to dictate who goes first. So what you want to happen here is you want to go second, right? You want to activate the Locus Focus to get extra casting and unbinding on your wizard. You want to be able to react to your opponent's movement. You want to deploy your wizards in range of their wizards as much as you possibly can because you don't have the full information. But try to make sure you're in range to unbind to stop magical dominance. The more spells, the more wizards in range of your Knight and Cantor, the less spells they're going to cast. Because if they try to do the same thing that we're trying to do in that first scenario, Knight and Cantor is really, really good at shutting it down. Third scenario, the battle plan has small player territories near the board edges. So let's say you're playing on something like Geomantic Pulse, right? These are very, very small territories. It's very easy to get within a board edge. It is very easy to score battle tactics like Intimidate the Invaders and Surround and Destroy, which means you can deploy more units on the battlefield. You don't have to hold back as much. You can have more stuff on the battlefield contributing as much all the time. So it's very easy. This is a lesser consideration to score tactics like that. But let's look at a scenario where the battle plan has larger territories, something like Spring the Trap, I believe that battle plan is called, where you're far away from the board edges, and also you have to be more than 9 inches from enemy territory. So you have big territories and far away from enemy or from the board edges. It is difficult to score Intimidate and Surround. So what you want to do in a scenario like this is deploy more of your units in reserve than you might normally and have a more defensive deployment in general. So you might hold, instead of, you know, putting your vanquishers on the field to screen, you might hold one of them back in reserve just so that you can drop it into play to score Intimidate, and then set it up so that you can score Surround and Destroy later. So what you might want to do there is when you drop that unit with Scions, you put it just on the board edge, or at least near enough to the board edge that it can just run into range, and then score Intimidate one turn, and next turn Surround and Destroy. So this doesn't matter if you're going first or second, right? This kind of scenario can be combined with scenario one or two, and then you can play accordingly. Now, you also don't want to put them too far from your opponent if you're using something like Vanquishers, because those units could also be used to score lead into the Maelstrom later. So in an ideal scenario, you would drop these units within 6 inches of the board edge, but within, let's say, a reasonable charge distance of about, after moving 5 inches, let's say you have a 7-inch charge. I'd say that's pretty reasonable. So about 12 inches away from enemies, but also in range to get within the board edge. So just where you put your units out of reserve could win you the game, because it could score you 3 tactics, 3 turns in a row. In general, I would say general tips for battle tactics. Most armies these days use 10 models as screens. Seraphon have skinks, Blitzbarb archers, and Slaanesh. There's tons of units that people put on the front line in order to screen and protect their more important units. Tempestors in reserve can score Draconeth destruction by dropping out of reserve, right? Because you don't have to pick the friendly unit, you just have to pick the enemy unit. My favorite thing to do right now is to drop 5 Vanquishers 9 inches away, and then drop the Tempestors right behind the Vanquishers within 12 inches of the enemy in order to shoot them. Then when the opponent charges in, they have to fight the Vanquishers, and they have to eat and unleash hell from Tempestors. Longstrikes do a really good job supporting this tactic by softening up units to make sure that Tempestors can finish them off. Because let's say you're not playing against something with 10 wounds and a 6-up save like a bunch of skinks. Let's say you're trying to shoot at something like, you know, 60 zombies. Tempestors on their own are not going to be enough to shoot that down. And if you rely on Battleshock to destroy them, then the Tempestors aren't going to score the battle tactic. So be ready with units like Longstrikes in position to help soften up targets before the Tempestors get their shots in. But also keep in mind, Longstrikes could swing high and destroy a unit if it only has 10 wounds. I had this happen in a game where I was shooting at like 10 Vindictors, and Longstrikes like just went crazy and killed them all before the Tempestors had a chance to shoot them. So that was not great. Yes. Now, in addition to using units with 10 models as screens, some armies will bring heroes that have 10 or more wounds. As soon as you see one of those across the table, like a Demon Prince, what are some other common ones? Morgonk, Neferata, we've got things
Fangorian like Lord. Yeah.
Yep, we'll Katakross is a big one. Obviously Gargants, everything in the Gargant army. A lot of stuff in Cruel Boys, if anybody's playing that in your area. Teclis is a big one. I'm not sure how much play Teclis is going to get. But as soon as you see a hero with 10 or more wounds, jot that down and think to yourself, I need to score Hammerstrike Force by killing that at some point. The best way to score Hammerstrike Force is to not commit melee damage to it. Try to do it from range if you can. So for example, if you have a list with 6 Longstrikes and 4 Tempestors, that's really, really good for this sort of thing. You can soften it up with Longstrikes, drop the Tempestors in, and finish it off. So do you have any other general tips for battle tactics? I feel like we went pretty in-depth in this episode. What else can we say?
Yeah. For battle tactics, I would just say, like, this is more like a meta knowledge thing, but you have to be aware of what battle tactics your opponent's faction has. Like we discussed what faction battle tactics Stormcast has, how good they are, how viable they are. We've always said that knowledge is about the meta game is generally good when you're facing different variety of armies in the field. But it's more important now more than ever to know what battle tactics your opponent has access to. Because you don't try to play in a way to deny your opponent battle tactics. Make sure you can score your own. Because there are some opponents, or some armies, rather, that have just a slew of easy battle tactics. Like Zinch quite literally just gets a battle tactic for existing. It just says summoner will change, which they just do on turn 2 or turn 1 anyway. So just be careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, planning ahead is really crucial for Stormcast to be successful this season. You have to know, like we went over in this video, which tactics you want to score. Things like Magical Dominance, Intimidate the Invaders, Surround and Destroy, Lead into the Maelstrom, and Draconeth Destruction. I'm going to score those 5 this game because I'm facing an army that has something that I can score off of it. Because I have more drops, I can easily score Magical Dominance by deploying Wizards out of range. Odds are I'm going to be forced to go first. These are all considerations you need to make from your very first deployment in the game. You know, if your first deployment is a wizard in range of unbinding, you may have just lost your first tactic, and that could snowball into a defeat. So you have to plan ahead starting from the very beginning of the game. You need to jot down which 5 battle tactics you think you're going to score. And the 5 I mentioned are pretty reasonably good to score. There might be easier ones depending on the scenario. Like sometimes you'll score reprisal, sometimes you'll score endless expropriation. But the five I mentioned are pretty good to score every single game. Like Murgonk said, you don't want to try to deny your opponent tactics. That's like really advanced gameplay because the problem with trying to deny tactics is you might reliably deny one or even two, but there's other ones that they can pick from. Especially armies with better book battle tactics, things like Seraphon, Daughters of Cain. Lots of armies have very good battle tactics, and even though you might dissuade them from scoring one, they'll just score another one. And then later they'll go back and score the one that they missed. You know, like, it's not that bad. There's
some things you can do, obviously. Like Paul mentioned, like, if they're targeting your hero and you know a battle tactic targeting your hero is coming, you know, pop a Finest Hour. If you have extra command points to spare, maybe redeploy that turn and, you know, make it as difficult as you can for your opponent to kill that thing. But in general, just try to score your own. You'll do better that way.
If they're trying to score a tactic that requires destroying a specific unit, you know, make sure you save command points to use all that defense on that unit. Make sure you save command points to Inspiring Presence that unit. Anything you can do to try to deny your opponent two victory points could swing the game. The situation is not totally hopeless for Stormcast. I think the first few games I played, I found the battle tactics very difficult to score. I wasn't setting up ahead of time for them. Trying to do them reactively was very difficult. I also hadn't been including units that can just teleport on their own in my list. Like, I didn't have Questers or Hunters or a Zephyros in my list. And I was finding it very difficult to just, you know, rapidly be somewhere else in order to score Surround and Destroy or Intimidate the Invaders. But after making some tweaks to my list building, bringing units like Tempestors in a lot of my lists because they have the Draconith keyword, I'm feeling a lot better about it. I feel like I can reliably score six or seven every single game. And then it's just a matter of picking the five that I'll want to score. How have your first impressions of the season been with regards to battle tactics so far?
So my first impressions of the season are battle tactics for slower armies is generally very tough. If you don't have a lot of teleporting or reserves coming out of reserve shenanigans, you're going to find it difficult to score some battle tactics, which means as I was mentioning, battle regiment, that one drop list that we were so familiar with, five units and three heroes, I think is going to get less common because of that, because people are going to need different units to do different things across the battlefield. I think Antorian Acolytes is also an incredibly strong battalion. Primal Dice, having access to one when your opponent doesn't on a 3-up could mean the difference between getting a crucial spell off or unbinding a crucial spell. So as the drops go down, people start bringing more units in general, because if two of your units are going into Antorian Acolytes, you could put more heroes in battalions that could also help you score battle tactics, like the Battle Regiment Battalion. I think just it just comes down to different armies not just building for this double turn efficiency anymore, but actually building for battle tactics, which either from their book or, you know, in the GHB. So,
mm-hmm. So I guess that kind of begs the question, do you like this design where you have to consider battle tactics in your list building? Because my first impression of that is that new players are going to be really struggling with that. It's not an obvious thing to do. The game is already really complicated as it is, and adding this extra layer to list building, which is, it's not easy to build a good list in this game.
I think, the newer players aren't going to care because, you know, when newer players are generally playing, they don't care if they score battle tactics every turn. I think it's going to be incredibly frustrating for newer players to try to score some difficult battle tactic and then fight like Tzeentch, which just says, oh yeah, just summon a Lord of Change and you're done.
Yeah.
I think that's going to create a lot of feels bads when you literally cannot do one out of 15 battle tactics and your opponent has three that they could do at any given time that they want. I think I like battle tactic design. I like the fact that they're getting harder. I like the fact that in order to score some of them, you're going to have to risk some, or like get into really risky board positions, or, you know, putting units in places you normally wouldn't. And I think even the primary missions in a lot of ways are discouraging your traditional, I'm just going to stay in my castle and kill everything and then break out. What I don't like is how some armies can just ignore the season entirely because of that.
Do you think maybe the solution is what they did for orcs, is to just give extra battle tactics through errata to some armies?
Maybe. Or I would maybe make it so you can score maybe like you have a limit on how many battle tactics you can score from your faction book. Maybe if it's limited to one or two. Like out of the five rounds, you can choose to do a battle tactic from your book, but you can only do one book battle tactic per game or something. Maybe I would like that better, but I don't know. I feel like it's an area that's not as much talked about, especially since we talked about how MetaWatch is like positively talking about the game, and they're clearly noticing things that are like wrong or like people are abusing in terms of power level, but I think battle tactics just goes unmentioned. Like one of the reasons Tzeentch was always so strong wasn't necessarily that their list was just doing things that, were out of the blue for anyone to handle. It was just they could score points more consistently than anyone else because of their battle tactics.
Yeah, I don't like the difference between armies with very good battle tactics and armies with very bad ones. And this is weird because it's not even a power creep thing, because some of the newer books have really bad tactics. Like OBR has terrible battle tactics in their book, especially after the
Yeah,
changes to the
they're
harvester
all
rule.
related around killing things with the different units in your army,
Yeah,
which is
you're
weird.
killing stuff with the crawler? I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah, maybe just limiting it to one might be the move forward. It's hard to know. Maybe we're just having a knee-jerk reaction to it as an army that has bad battle tactics.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see. All right, guys, that's it for this video. Thanks for watching. Hopefully this has been useful. I know a lot of people have been talking about battle tactics. Hopefully our discussion breaking down each tactic, the ones you want to focus on, how you want to score them, making a plan, starting with your deployment. Hopefully all this stuff has been very useful. If you think we missed anything or our analysis is lacking in some way, then leave a comment down below. Keep the conversation going, and we want to hear from you guys. How are you liking Battle Tactics this season? Do you have any tips and tricks that we didn't cover in this video? If you want to talk about AOS, feel free to join the Stormkeep Discord server. We have a link down below. We have a Battle Reports forum where people post long-form content, looking at turn-by-turn the thought process behind their deployment, behind every action. I've really been enjoying that so far. Hopefully Morgonk is going to post some reports in there soon.
I mean, I just got done with the move, so probably not. But yeah, I do live pretty close to a game shop in my new apartment, so yes, probably. At the very least, I was thinking about doing this in a different way, but I think we should have a video on how to play Annihilators. I don't think a lot of people understand that. Or how to play Combined Arms Annihilators. You could just be spamming comments, and that's the most obvious thing in the world. But yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. You can also post your models on the Discord server or join our community contest. We do list building contests, we do painting contests. If you're watching this video on release, we currently have a Stormdrake painting contest going on right now. We also do list building, not just for Stormcast, but for every army. We like talking about every army. We're on there all day, every day. So jump in if you want to talk about Age of Sigmar. And consider supporting the gang by becoming a member on YouTube or joining us at patreon.com/thestormkeep. For $5 a month, you can get access to early videos. You can get access to the slides we use in these podcasts. And for a little bit more, you can get access to the private list workshop. If you have an event coming up, you want to fine tune your list, you want to talk with the guys on the podcast, we are there as a resource for you guys. Coming up on the podcast, next up is the Stormcast tier list. I know people have been waiting on this one, but we wanted to get these quicker videos out there while thinking about finalizing everything for the tier list update. We also have a Seraphon tier list update coming. There's been a lot of changes since the last book. We have a list building video coming, and I'm working on a couple battle reports based off the beginner list. So look forward to all that. And I guess Mergonk is working on how to play Annihilators.
See
All right, thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we'll see you in the next one.
ya.